How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to another, I was going to say MTV, RHAP Reality Rehap Up. I'm your host, Adam Bongiovanni, and I'm here with the host, with the most, Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you doing today?
I'm like eating chips and drinking soda right now, so I'm professional. So if I
burp from
time
to time,
I apologize, but I'm good. Other than the gassiness, I'm great. I'm great.
Ooh, podcast with some gas is always a good podcast.
Oh, just a little splash of gas.
You know how we do it. That's how we do it. If our podcast doesn't have gas, what does it really have?
Exactly.
Nothing. It has nothing. Okay, so we have a lot has happened with this show behind the scenes in the last few weeks. We have two separate announcements. I'll tell the first one. You could tease the second one. And, we'll just start with that. So the first thing is we were actually interviewed about our podcast, our Ari the One podcast, by a reporter or a writer, not a reporter, maybe, I guess same thing, journalist from Rolling Stone magazine. That's it. And it was really, really cool. So we were both really excited about that. I've never been interviewed by any publication that big, so I don't know how you feel, but I was just ecstatic about it.
Did you say Rolling Stone?
Rolling Stones,
Adam.
Rolling Stones, Rolling Stones. Stones with an S. It's a Rolling Stones.
Oh my God.
Do you think they're going to pull the article now because they heard me say that?
I would hope not.
we'll have to get our extensive editing team to edit me saying real quick in the Rolling Stones. Rolling Stones. Hold on. When I say Rolling Stones magazine, that sounds weird.
It's Rolling Stone. No S.
Yeah, I said Rolling Stone magazine originally. You said. I think you made fun of me for that.
No, I was just like hyping us up.
I said it wrong, and I was like,
"Oh my goodness!
Oh my god! Now they're definitely now with all this crazy banter, they're definitely pulling it." Rolling Stone magazine will have Amon Adwin, Adam Bongiovanni. That's all you guys need to know, and that is very exciting. But seriously, how did you feel when we first got that email?
I was like, well, so the journalist, lovely journalist, she emailed Adam first, and then Adam texted me like, want to see something cool, and then sent me a screenshot. So I was like, oh my god, oh my god! I was like in the middle of the, I was like crossing the street too, and I like practically dropped my phone. I almost got ran over on South Street here in Philadelphia. No, it's fine. I would have gladly, if that was going to be my dying moment, then hey. Whatever.
What a way to die. What a way to go out.
Just make sure you eulogize me properly in the article.
Oh my god, that would get so much more like attention if we
right?
It was like
he sadly
passed away like right during as he got the news about this interview. That would have been pretty impressive.
It would have been, you know,
iconic.
It would have been one for the ages. But yeah, I was super excited, and then she went and DM'd me maybe a few minutes later on Twitter, and then I went and sent that screenshot to Adam, and it was just like, yes! Like, I'm rarely ever interviewed, unless it's like some sort of like podcast, let alone interviewed by a major publication like Rolling Stone magazine. So,
oh my god, it's and yeah, Rolling Stone with no S for the record. I've learned the hard way. But no, we were like, I don't know, it's just so cool that we do this like every week and we have so much fun with it. But I feel like for someone of that stature to notice what we're doing, and especially just I guess talk about this iconic season, allow us to talk on a platform like that. Like, I know I could speak for both of us and say we were both extremely honored.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, you sort of just, you know, get into like your regular rhythm, and you don't really think about, or you don't think too much about what people are,
exactly,
you know, or, you know, how this is like being received. I mean, obviously we want people to enjoy the show, but you know, this is like something that's unexpected. Like,
exactly.
Julie Chen Moonves tried to tell us and we didn't listen.
We have to really expect the unexpected more, which... Do you want to tease our second announcement, which we're just chock full of announcements today?
Yes, super duper chock full of announcements. The next announcement is also really, really cool. We will be scoring an interview with a current cast member of Are You the One season 8. And you'll have to stick around for who it's going to be.
Ooh.
We're both very, very excited. I am very, very excited, if that is a bit of a hint. But stick around.
Yes. And until the very end. I think at the end, Aman, you will be the one to give it away. If you're listening to this right now, I want everyone to just think and like manifest who they want it to be. Even though it's already decided, pull a Christy Murphy, manifest it, and maybe it'll come true by the end of the podcast.
Manifest, 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 manifest.
I know. I was actually just going to make a joke and that would have given it away. So I'm going to leave it at that. We will let you guys know at the end of the podcast. But we do have an episode to talk about. So let's start at the top of this bad boy. Now, I know a lot of people have been tweeting us like rumors, and they've been, and there's a lot of things going around in circulation of what's happening with the rest of the season. Now, when I went into this episode, I feel like I go into every episode where I don't know how many episodes we have left. But no matter what, whether there's two left, one, whatever, we know that
I believe it is two.
Okay, so there's there's still a 2 week break from this week, and there's two episodes after, right? That's the schedule right now.
I believe we have a 2 week break, and then yeah, two more.
Okay, got
two episodes after that.
We are getting
really short of, like, I'm not even under, like, why is there like a hiatus for a show that only has 13 episodes?
Okay, so I think this is the weird thing, that why they moved it to this day. And the VMAs are on next Monday, but you would think that...
Oh, I forgot
that,
about the fucking VMAs.
I know, but you would think that if they moved it to Monday, like, and they were really excited about Ari the One, they'd either have Ari the One lead into the VMAs or VMAs right. lead into Ari the One. So that kind of, like, it always alarms me that there's potential to, like, Ari the One not to come back, but that kind of scares me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that I feel like that's, like, that's what they usually do, is when they have a show that they're really excited about, they... have it lead right into the show. And you know, sometimes for really successful shows, some of the cast members actually end up at the VMAs. Yes. You know, giving away a, you know, a really low key, you know, award, because they're not going to have freaking Basit stand up and give away, you know, video of the year. But
imagine, we would love it, but maybe the 400,000 other people that watch Ari the One would like it.
I mean, I'm not saying that he shouldn't. He wouldn't do a good job.
It would be iconic. We know that much. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to happen.
It's not going to happen. And this, I'm trying to find the schedule just to have like a...
your reference or something.
Confirmed... Mm-hmm. Remaining episodes, and I can't find it at the moment. Okay. But yeah, it's probably not. It's not going to happen that way. But you know, it does make you a little bit anxious, because you're wondering what if this bodes well for the longevity of the series. But mm-hmm. you know, we'll cross that bridge should we come to it. I mean, Adam and I have already been talking about possible podcasts,
exactly,
in lieu of Ari the One.
We are. No matter what, we will. We're a perfect match forever. So there's no. We're not. We're going to be podcasting about something one way or the other. But as of now, we still got a great show in Ari the One. Fingers crossed it stays that way. Now, let's get to the top of this episode. There was a lot that went on. It was a lot of. I liked it because it was a very strategic based episode. But let's start with. Jasmine and Noor, this is something I don't say often, but I was impressed with the certain actions on Ari the One. I really enjoyed that they started the episode, they both squashed their beef, they apologized to each other, and they were kind of over it. At this point in the episode, though, this is like minute one, is there any part of you that says, maybe they're like foreshadowing some sort of perfect match? Because I know there's no way in hell that what crossed my mind.
It definitely didn't cross my mind, and honestly, I don't even think that was, you know, from a production standpoint. Like, I feel like production had no, like, there was no way to have guessed that they were going, like, Noor and Jasmine were going to pop off into the way that they did a couple weeks ago. So the fact that we went from that, from World 3000 to them, you know, hooking up and getting past that is, like, through, like, that is not produced. That is like part of the show where it's like you could not have written that any better. Yeah. And it's to the point now where I'm still having trouble with it, because that blow up was so fucking huge. They were so ready to like go at each other's throats, that seeing them like, you know, sort of like bury the hatchet is like still, it still seems like fan fiction to me right now. It's not setting. I feel like I need one more episode with them to really like see, okay, yeah, they could be a match. Like I see it. But right now I'm like, yeah, I'm expecting one of them to like slap a bitch. Yeah. Like, so that's how
it
I
almost
feel.
Doesn't. It's weird knowing that they're a perfect match, because it's like, and I know, like, let's be real. The producers don't cast this show, and they're like, all right, let's find all the, let's find 12 or 10 people or 8 people in this season and find 8 perfect matches for them. We don't care if they're exciting, boring. That's not how this works. They cast 16 people who are going to bring drama, and some are going to be lovable, some are hateable, some are crazy. Yep. Like, they don't cast these people to find love. They cast them to be crazy, and then they match them up together. So it almost feels like they could either go in one of two directions. They either A, cast people who say, okay, let's say Kai and Danny are a match. Like, okay, Kai needs someone like Danny in his life, you know? But with Jasmine and Noor, it's kind of like, they're similar, you know? Maybe they'll calm each other down, or maybe they'll just have a lot of passion. It doesn't really feel like they're going to make each other better or learn from each other. If anything, it feels like they could kind of be a bit catastrophic.
Yeah, it seems like a cocktail of disaster, to be honest. I mean, you know, always willing to give people the benefit of the doubt. I mean, and it's also, you know, you never know how couples will be able to operate in a space that is not Are You the One and heavily filmed and producers whispering shit in your ear to get some shit started. And so you never know how things will bode after the season is over. But, it, you know, I take your point in that sometimes production is just clearly interested in putting dynamic cast personalities together, and sometimes some of these perfect matches have two bold personalities, and sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Yep. And so, well, I mean, I feel like based off of social media, we can see how this will end up. Not that it doesn't end amicably, but, you know, I'm like more on the side of this is probably a perfect match in the house, but not so much on the earth.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think the earth supports this one. At the end of the day, that's what I want to bring up. I apparently say at the end of the day a lot, so that could be a drinking game. If anyone's playing, take a shot every time I say at the end of the day. That's just a quick side note. I got a tweet from that, so I was pretty excited about that. Now, transitioning off of people potentially finding a perfect match in the house and this whole matchmaking process, we touched on this last week, but they kind of brought it up in this episode a few times. We see a lot of Danny and Kai. And me and you both had a pretty strong opinion last week that Danny and Kai would be great for Kai, but what is Danny really getting out of it? And Danny listed his what he's looking for, and I think he said, like, curious, intelligent. There were a few other things, and Kai was like, oh, that's me, I have that. But
I was like, bitch, back
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I still think that Danny's really, and I'm sure Kai's a great person, like, beyond the fuckboy attitude that we've seen this season. But I still think, and all we have to go off is base the edit and what these people are saying, that Danny seems like one of the most genuine people and genuinely nice people and someone who's always willing to help others. And it seems like Kai deserves someone like Danny, but I don't think, I think Danny deserves a bit better than Kai for his perfect match. And
yes,
it's just frustrating because I feel like it's the matchmakers had Kai in mind, but what is Danny getting out of this? And now I know how you feel, but do you think that there's something beyond this that Kai is providing Danny that we don't see?
It just seems like fan fiction once again to me. I feel like it's sort of the thing where it's like, oh, you know, they've been sort of like star-crossed lovers, just two ships in the night, always passing by, but never actually taking the time to see things through. Yeah. But even in the moments where they come together, because this isn't the first time that this has happened between the two of them. I mean, a couple weeks ago, we saw that little edit when they were in the closet, and Kai steals a kiss with Danny. And in the DR right after that, Danny is like, I understand that the feeling that Kai gives a lot of people is not unique to me. And I feel like if you're already feeling that way, if you already are recognizing that Kai is a bit of a playboy and that he's never really going to be able to fulfill you in a way that is for you and only you, then I would hate. I mean, there's still the possibility that he could be a match, but I would hate that for him because I just don't see a world where Kai is able to calm the fuck down and, you know, I also don't really see a world where Danny is the one to even do that, because just because Danny is a calm person, that doesn't mean that he has powers of calmness. It doesn't, like, it's not his job to go and calm you down every day. Like, especially if the opposite of calm for Kai is to want to fuck everybody, then that's not. Like that, Danny, like, that's like, if you want to fuck everybody, then that's just who you are. And that means that you're not meant to be in a relationship. Yep. to begin with. So,
or you have to be an open, very non-committed relationship. It has to be very different from what, like, I'd look for in a relationship where I'm going to be one person. Like, I feel it.
You and Danny. Yeah. I don't think he's looking for that shit either.
Maybe he'll speak out and say differently, but it doesn't seem like that's what Danny's looking for as well. I feel like maybe if we see more confessionals in the next few weeks, like, or next two episodes, we'll be able to kind of see a bit more. But here's what's weird about all this. I actually think, and I'm not saying it's the right decision by the matchmakers, but each week and we're seeing more airtime from them, I'm starting to lean towards them being a perfect match and not Max and Justin. And I think after watching the whole season, this episode, I feel more strongly about Danny and Kai being a perfect match and the least strong about Max and Justin.
I mean, if you say so, just Adam, that would be...
It's just the edit. I just have this... You know, like, in when you're watching Survivor and, like, I feel like there's... The edit is so intricate and it's really tough to tell. I feel like with Are You the One, there's just intuitions I get from, like, I feel like watching way too much reality TV. And the vibe I'm getting is they're building up Max and Justin and not be a match.
You said they're building up Justin and Max
to not be a match. Like with the with throwing these Amber confessionals in there, it's just, and then there's just, okay, here's the main thing. I was going to actually talk about this later. And there's this one little tell that's honestly what feels like it's giving it away for me. So, you know, we'll get into this, that Paige and Remy are not a perfect match. So then you have to get to the point, who is Paige's perfect match? And the only other edit she really has is, to me, at least what I've noticed, is Jenna. They keep having Jenna say these little things about Paige, and she's like, oh, Paige deserves better. Paige is just infatuated with Remy. So I'm like, okay, like, I could see Paige and Jenna being a perfect match. Danny's talking about the strategy. He says if Max and Justin aren't a perfect match, that for some reason, like, they did the math, it solidifies that Jenna and Paige are a perfect match. So I can't get that little, like, how they're editing out of my head, and I feel like that's what it's going to end up being. Jenna and Paige and Danny and Kai, and then Max and Justin are going to be somewhere else.
The math. That seems like a very, very dark timeline. And honestly, I'm not even sure, based off of what we see from Max and Justin this episode, I'm not even sure. If that were the case, I don't even think that we'd be getting the payoff that we would want from that. Yeah. Because I think we'd be expecting it to be a whole breakdown with Max, you know, feeling like he'll never love again and all that shit. But he's already sort of like, I feel like he's already sort of coming to terms with it. And Justin is helping him come to terms with the possibility of them not being a match. But it's going to be one of those things where it's like, okay, fuck it. We're not a perfect match. Sure, I'll play the game just to play the game so we can win the money. But I'm still going to spend all the time with you. Like,
yeah.
And that might... That might piss off other people, but honestly, at the end of the day, if they're still going to win the prize because they're still willing to at least play the game and match and sit who is sit, because the matchup ceremony is just, you just sit with whoever you sit with. It doesn't always match up with who you're actually interested in. So, I mean, that could very well be a possibility, but I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be too opposed to watching it happen just because the malicious, you know, reality loving part of
cynicism.
Me is
I got it too,
into that,
worry.
But. We'll see.
Who do you still believe in? Do you think Justin and Max are a match?
I just feel like they just seem like such endgame. Yeah. I feel like they've spent too much time on them to really, especially for there to be two episodes left. It doesn't really give us a lot of time for them to, like, get over it and, like, you know, move past it and try and still play the game. I feel like it's
that's a fair point. I feel like we who would Max's match be? He's invested everything into Justin.
Exactly.
Like, Justin could literally be with anyone. Like, he's hooked up with everyone. But, like, who would Max?
I will say that I was really pissed off that they decided to end the episode on a clip. I mean, no. I know that we're not at the end of it, but that pissed me the fuck off because they made, like, the whole promo for this week's episode last week was like, and then we're going to find out about Justin and Max. And then we don't find out about Justin and Max. I'm like, this is false fucking advertisement, fake news. Get her out of here.
Yep. And we have to wait 2 weeks now. So it's, well, now Jax is, their fate is up in the air, but we'll see. I'm still hopeful for them because I feel like it'd be nice to see kind of the whole story come full circle, but who knows, you know, we'll find out in 2 weeks.
We shall.
Yes, we definitely shall. So then we get a little fun segment, with Miss Jello and Miss Hello. Was that the names?
That sounds familiar. I watched it like 2 days ago.
I literally watched it on Monday when it came out, and then I watched tonight again with my girlfriend because she didn't watch, and she's a Besit and Jonathan stan, so we have to watch. I took my notes, and I saw that I'm pretty sure it was Miss Hello. I saw Besit being Miss Jello, so I just wrote that down. I'm sorry, Amber. But so then it was like all fun and games, and they get to the part with Paige where she starts opening up about her old relationship and how the guy kind of treated her like shit and like really made her feel like being like crying is weakness and you shouldn't cry. And I feel like she puts a lot of the similarities from her ex that kind of remind her of Remy. And it's really making it difficult for her to kind of move past her ex and be like, okay, like Remy's a different person, because they do have some similarities. Now, this is a question I want to ask you kind of beyond Are You the One? If someone, and I think we touched upon this in the past a little bit, but if someone you're interested in has a lot of similarities of an ex relationship or ex hookup, whatever it is, do you think that's an immediate red flag where you're like, okay, like I need someone different? Or do you think there's still potential for you to find love with that person, even though they do remind you of your ex a bit?
Honestly, this is such a time appropriate question for me, because I've been thinking a lot about things like this.
Okay.
And honestly, maybe if you had asked me this question 3 weeks ago, I would have said, yeah, there's still the possibility that something fruitful could come from this relationship and me giving it a shot. But now, now that I'm sort of becoming attuned to the notion of emotional cutting, mm-hmm. And for those of you that don't know what that means, is like, it essentially means that when you put yourself in a position where you are putting all of your eggs into somebody who you know is never going to care for you in the way that you will care for them, someone that you know or has given you reason to believe that they are manipulative or that they are not, they're just not good for you, and you're still going after it because for whatever reason, low self-esteem, whatever it is, poor mental health, just, you know, anything that's like self-destructive, it's sort of like along the similar, you know, veins of too much drinking, too much smoking, not getting enough sleep. All of this like self-degradation it's emotional cutting. When you put yourself in a position where you are going to be abused by somebody that you know is not going to ever love you the way that you love them. So no, I don't think that I would. I feel like if there is somebody out there that reminds me too much of somebody that, I mean, you broke up with them for a reason. I love that notion. It's like they're an ex for a reason, and we don't do remixes. Like,
yes,
it's one track and it's done. So I don't think so. No,
I completely agree with you. And this is why me and you've been saying this for a while. Like, I hate to say, we called that, but we did call it with Remy and Paige. We didn't see that spark. Like, we saw maybe an infatuation, but there was no like true deep love connection there. And I'll kind of back you up on this. If a relationship doesn't work out with someone, clearly it's not meant to be with that person, right? But it also is kind of showing that you're not meant to be with someone with similar characteristics. Because whether it's personality, chemistry, whatever the issue was, something didn't work out. So if I feel like someone reminds of your ex, you're going for comfort and you're not going for what could potentially be your in real life perfect match. So I'm kind of completely with you that someone reminds you of your ex, you know what? There's a million, billion, trillion people out there. Like, find someone else.
Right.
It's easy.
That is, yes. And I feel like, I mean, and it's okay to feel that way about people. I mean, I love that I love that Paige is sort of, I mean, she, as much as she has such an apprehension about him, I also love that she still has like a bit of like compassion where she understands that like, yeah, like this guy's actually feeling me and I feel bad that I am not able to reciprocate that. So, I mean, she really shows her humanity in the hesitation. But at the same time, it is okay to have reservations about people. You do not have to put yourself on the line for everybody. You are allowed to decide what is best for you and who is best for you. And sometimes they can be really, you know, decent people and they're still not for you. And that's okay. Like, it is okay. Like, put yourself first all the time. I mean, there's always a limit to it. You don't want to end up being alone with like 5,000 cats and, you know, a subscription to CBS All Access watching, you know, 25-year-olds all day on some live feed. But, you know, you have to know yourself. And I feel like if you've done enough self-reflection to realize that this is somebody that could potentially hurt you, listen to your instincts. They are usually the best. They always know what to do. So that's why they're there. So I'm glad that she did.
Yeah. I think she came out like looking like a champ this episode because she tried with Remy. She really did put as much effort in as she possibly could with knowing like Remy's history and like Remy's a lot more experienced and that has come up. And I think we could transition to kind of talking about that a little bit because Remy does get a little upset about being like, oh, I want to be kind of more than the hookup king. And I understand that. But from seeing it from someone else's perspective, I and this is like, it's not shaming someone for being with a lot of people, but it's also something that no matter what, whether you're with one person or you're with 52 people, the person you're with or going to be with in the future is going to judge you, whether it's good, bad, neutral, whatever it is, they're going to judge based off the number. And I don't think it's necessarily unfair to maybe be a little more apprehensive. It's if someone's either really experienced or really not experienced, because I feel like those either being really experienced or not experienced or being just somewhat experienced, it's going to elicit some sort of emotion. So do you think that it's fair for someone like Paige? And I'm not sure if she did this. I know Remy was kind of upset about being judged by this, but do you think it's fair for someone to see someone who's been with a lot of people and say, you know what? Like that worries me a little bit.
I think that it's fair to have apprehensions. Mm-hmm. I don't think that you should judge it based off of that. Mm-hmm. I think that you have to take the person into account as a whole. Yeah. And I think that people don't give Remy that grace, or at least that is what he is telling us happens frequently, is that people just hear that number and that's all they hear. And something that I would say to that, and I don't really know Remy as a person outside of the game, but I would say, well, maybe, I mean, how are you entering situations where with people that you are actually interested in? Like, are you letting it be known that, is it something that comes out of your mouth, like, within the first date? Like, how is that approached?
Yeah.
Because I feel like if your reputation precedes you, then maybe there's a bit of, like, maybe there's a bit of, like, image, you know, sanitization that you need to do. And that's not me slut-shaming. I'm just saying maybe there's something about you where it's, like, it shouldn't be known automatically that this is like that you are somebody that gets around, because sure. I feel like once you have that reputation, that's like really hard to fight against because people still have their conventional views or whatever the fuck. Now that being said, like I can understand why Paige would have apprehensions because Remy he made it no secret that that's what he likes to do. I mean, the first couple of weeks, this is what he made it a point to let it be known that that's what he was doing. So it's like, you know, well, now it's like, well, how am I supposed to? I'm supposed to be the perfect match of the guy that's out here banging Kai while Kai is obviously trying to, you know, be in something with Jenna. Like what am I supposed to do with this information? How am I supposed to feel? Am I just another number? So I understand the apprehension, but I'm also glad that Paige didn't let that deter her from at least going into the truth booth or going on the date with him. So
yeah.
I mean, it's hard. I mean, I get it. But I would not judge somebody completely over that because I want to take other things into account.
True. I think that's the perfect way to put it. Let's be real. If someone came out and they were like, look, I've been with zero people or I've never kissed someone or whatever it may be, you're also going to have you're going to have apprehension because you're going to be like, wow, are you that inexperienced? Are you not comfortable with your sexuality? Like, there's a million questions that could come into play there. At the same time, if someone's been with a lot of people, you're gonna get that same apprehension. However, I think you worded it perfectly. There's a lot more to someone than their sexuality, right? Or not sexual, they're like, you know, like how comfortable they are with sexually. So there's a lot more to someone with how many people they've been with. So as I think it's okay for that to kind of be like, maybe like I'll be a little cautious here, I do think there's a lot more to that. Like Remy, we see the funny, nice, really great guy that he is based on just even watching him on a TV show. Now, I'm sure if people are going to date him, they might, especially hearing that he said, oh, my number is 900. I'm sure that's going to sound off a few alarms. But at the end of the day, I feel like if you're...
Is your number 900,
Adam? Well,
that number came out of your mouth so easily.
Clearly. So, but if you're with that many, I feel like if you're looking to date Remy, I feel like if your connection's there, I wouldn't let a high number deter that. I would at least explore it and see what could come of it because you don't want to let a number get in the way of a possible outside of are you the one perfect match.
Yes. I mean, you always want to remain as open as you can, you know, because if you want people to give you grace, then you have to give them grace.
True. That's
within reason.
Very good point. And I have friends who have had their fair share of hookups in the past, and then they get into relationships, and they'll always be honest, but they're not going to come out and say, "Yep, these are the 62 girls I've slept with. Like, here, take the here's the list." Like, that's also your business. Your hookups are your business, yeah. You know.
And also, like, I've had friends that have, you know, aren't shy about their body count, mm-hmm. and they aren't shy about, you know, hookup culture, and that are actually proponents of hookup culture because they think they feel like it's a very liberating experience. Yeah. And I remember when I was a little bit more conservative about that thing, just based off of my own, you know, interest. I remember being like, "Oh, I don't know if I could ever live that kind of life." But now that I'm getting like a little older, and I know that I'm not old, like 25 is not old by any stretch of the imagination. But now that I'm getting a little older, I'm trying to be like, "Yeah, I'm kind of jealous of those people now. Like, maybe I should have been a little bit more, you know, curious and did some more exploring and not put so many like arbitrary rules on my body, because at the end of the day, it's all about you and who gives a shit what anybody else is thinking. Like, if you want to go ahead and, you know, let yourself experience, have an experience, then go ahead and fucking do it. Life is fucking short, yo.
You really have to do what makes you happy. Whether you go out, sleep with someone new, as long as you're, of course, like making sure you're not getting anything STDs. But like beyond that, like have fun, live your life. At the end of the day, like, you know what I'm saying?
Wrap it up.
Be careful. But at the end of the day,
Adam and I are going to start selling condoms.
Are you the one? Honestly, they'd probably sell really well because I feel like the Are You the One house could probably use them, because I have a weird feeling that they don't use condoms. Or at least many. But anyway, I do think that a lot of people automatically, you look at hooking up with a lot of people and think it's a negative thing. If that's what makes you happy and you're, like we said, being safe, you go for it, you know? Like, because one day you're going to look back and be like, "Ah, I should have explored that a little more." So I'm with you. I think if that's what gets you going and gets you excited, then be free, be loose. Jesus, I don't think that's the right wording. Be free. Have fun and be safe. That's what that. Have fun is a lot more than be loose.
So many dirty jokes just popped up.
I know. The word "loose" is never gonna sit well with I feel like, and it just sounds terrible. All right. So enough about sex. Let's get to. Okay, we'll get to the challenge. So we have. Was this like an IKEA brand deal? Like, was it sponsored?
Honestly, that's what I was thinking, because I was like, what? I mean, it had everything. It had like. Descriptions of how to push it together, and then it like had people standing up on them multiple times just to show how sturdy this shit was.
Terrence jumping on
anybody,
them.
As if anybody is going to buy a bedside table to stand on it. Like, but okay,
You know, it was in the weirdest part about this was that a little part of me was like, maybe like production was like looking to like replace some of the furniture and was like, okay, like we could all waste time doing this, or we could have a bunch of these idiots just rush and finish it within like 10 minutes. So you know what? Maybe they did their dirty work. Either way, this was an interesting challenge. And the winners we had were a very odd grouping of people. We had Amber and Max. I actually wrote Amber and Justin in my notes because that's how bizarre Amber and Max together was. Danny and my notes are all wrong. Danny and Noor. I have Paige written twice. It was Paige and Remy. So the six of them are going on a date. Obviously, looking at this group of people, do you think that they were trying? Like, because it felt like they were actually really trying. But it is interesting that the only couple that was kind of really edited heavily was the whole Remy and Paige thing we've been getting for weeks.
Yeah, it did look like they were trying. I mean, because I forget who it was, but somebody was like trying to get Terrence's attention, like passionately.
I think it was Remy, and Remy did it after like Justin messed up or something.
Yeah. So I feel like they were actually, I feel like it was probably a challenge that happened like really, really quickly too. Mm-hmm. I personally feel like I would have won this because I used to love putting shit together. Like my dad would like bring home like cabinets and bookcases and TV stands and tables and all sorts of shit. And I loved putting stuff like that together. So I feel like I would have like killed this shit. But yeah, it did seem like people were actually putting their all into this challenge, which is fun to see.
Yeah, no, I'm.
We know that a fire has been lit. Wow, I'm on. Ooh, okay,
I like
has
word.
Been lit under all of their asses because they're like, "Fuck, we don't have a lot of time left, and we need to start getting these, you know, matches, or we are not going to win." So I feel like everybody is like trying to have some say over who goes into the truth booth and all that. So
yeah. No, I agree, and I'm excited to see. I feel like they all are really actually starting to care, and I feel like this happens every season already, the one where it hits like week 7 or 8 and they're like, oh my god, we're gonna lose. So like, it's good that they're all like excited, and it seems like they're on the right path, and we'll get to the strategy a little bit later. But I want to just touch on, we talked about Remy and Paige a lot, but see, this is what I want. I love the funny side of Remy. But I feel like this, seeing him kind of be like, look, like, it feels like you're ashamed of me. Like, I like that. I want to see the vulnerable side of someone who's so confident, because I feel like that above all shows growth. Like, for episode 1, Remy's saying, fuck 900 people. Episode 8 or 9, whatever we're at, he's crying and saying like he doesn't want Paige to be ashamed of him. And they end up making out. It was just, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of these dates. I feel like for the most part, they're kind of boring. But I like the growth we saw with Remy in this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see an emotional side to people that don't necessarily open up with that. And I feel like the house has been stripping and chipping away at him. And I feel like, he was on the precipice of self-discovery a little bit before this episode, and this is sort of like the culmination of it. And I'm always just glad to see when characters have a full arc.
Yes.
And this seems to be like the middle of his, and we can only imagine what we'll see towards the end of the season. I mean, we only have 2 episodes left, so it's got to wrap up somehow. And I'm invested in how this goes. So,
who do you think Remy's perfect match is now that we know it's not Paige?
Ugh. Who could it
right?
be?
Like, I have no clue.
Maybe it's somebody like Kai.
Yeah, that's when they were together tonight and they looked absolutely miserable standing next to each other. I see, but also I'm like, a part of me is like, they kind of have the Jasmine Noor effect where they're like super, but I guess if the matchmakers are going that way, like where they're kind of like both similar, where they both fuck a lot and they're both like kind of, but I think Remy is a little more, well, a lot less of a fuckboy, because clearly the house is way more fixated on Kai being a fuckboy. So right. I could see Kai. Another person that I just had, this is someone I could see being a perfect match with Danny. And the things that Remy has that we haven't seen from Kai is like this very genuine, vulnerable side. I feel like Kai has kind of said what he wants the other people to believe. I feel like with Remy, we're getting the genuine side of him. So, and I do think that, and this is what I was going to say before, that Danny needs someone who's going to fully desire him. And I know we haven't seen that from Remy, but I feel like that could be there, where Remy's interested in someone, he is fully interested in that one person. And I think that's something that Danny, someone who had a past relationship that didn't work out and might be feeling a little insecure about it, deserves someone who wants him and only him. So that's a little flashed in my head. But I could also see Kai, and I think they would be the biggest train wreck of a relationship of all time.
Yeah, I mean, that could definitely work. I didn't even think about Danny, because I guess I'm always just thinking that Danny's mine, you know.
Well, he is. He definitely is yours.
Boy is mine.
Ooh. Okay. All right. I see you.
You know, what's funny, like, I don't know what's funnier, like the shit that comes out of my mouth sometimes, or just like Adam's reactions to my foolishness.
I see, but I hype you up. Like, if you're gonna sing, like, I'm not gonna deter you. Like, I'm gonna hype you the fuck up, and you're gonna belt out those notes for all of the Rolling Stone universe.
Yes, if only the Rolling Stone magazine was an audio interview.
Oh, man, that would be. Imagine if it was like they opened the magazine like that, the issue, and like our voices just came out of it. I feel like that would scare everyone away.
They probably close the shit out of that magazine.
Like, oh, what the fuck is this? but you and Danny will be together eventually. We'll make it happen. So we're Paige and Remy have this kiss, and like, I don't know if it's their first kiss. It kind of seemed like a first kiss. It was a cute kiss, you know, it was nice. But then we get to make things a little sadder, they're not a perfect match. It seems like they almost knew. Like, they were kind of like, it felt like they both just accepted it and knew, and it just kind of felt like they had closure on the situation.
Yeah, I feel like it was like, I feel like Remy walked up to it like, oh my goodness, like this could actually pay off, like all of like the emotional labor that I've been putting into this might actually pay off. And I feel like Paige was like, I'm taking this chance. Like, I get points for taking this chance, but if it doesn't work, if he's not my match, then it's okay. And then I feel like Remy kind of like caught on to like that apprehension that she still had. And yes, he was like, well, I mean, if that doesn't happen, then I guess I have to be okay with it too. And then when that no match rolled across the screen, it was like a big sigh of relief for Paige. And also, like, because she was sighing in relief, he had to sigh in relief. But it was also like sad for him. But at the same time, at least he like made, like, he did all of this work, which, you know, is still really good. It's progress for him still. So it's like, okay, like, consolation prize. But yeah, they definitely both were like, whoo, bitch. Yes. Like, it's like, Paige is like, okay, I did it, y'all. Yeah. I did what y'all told me to do. Now back the fuck up. Yep. I need to find my perfect match.
And that's good. Like, I'm glad, like, she, you know what? She wasn't 100%. She opened up. Didn't work out. Great. Now move the fuck on. Find your perfect match. I hope they both do, and I hope they're both happy. But it definitely, I think we saw this for a while. It's not, wasn't meant to be, at least in the Aria the One House. But Strategic Mastermind Danny, when they come back, Kari freaks out and starts yelling at everyone. I feel like that was kind of a, like, if somebody did that to me, I'd be like, just relax, sit down, like, we got time. But Danny kind of picks it up and says, okay, like, starts figuring out all the strategy. And he actually did tweet a lot about the strategy, and I'm not going to lie, I didn't read through all of it.
What is his Twitter? I can never find it.
I'll screenshot it to you or send you the at name after this. I don't know. It's like his first and last name, and it's like, pretty sure his last name is Polish, so it's like tough to spell. Yeah, it's like Danny Prikaz. Danny Prick. Prikaz. There's no C, so it's prick without the C. He goes on this like strategic rant in the house, and he figured, and I'm sure there was help. I want to give help to credit to whoever else helped, but Danny figures out that Noor and Jasmine are a perfect match, and Jonathan and Basit are a perfect match, which we already knew. But they got some beams, and which is great and all. But I feel like we've talked a lot about Jonathan Bissett. We touched on Paige and Jasmine earlier in this episode. So what this really comes down to is there's two more matches, Danny and Kai, or potential matches, Danny and Kai and Max and Justin. One of them is a match, one of them is not. When they figure out at this next matchup ceremony who the perfect match is, it honestly feels like, based on what they were saying, that they'll pretty much solve everything else.
I honestly was so lost through all of this.
It was a lot. And that's why I honestly, like, watching that, I think I would suck at the show. Like, playing it, I think I'd be so bad. Like, I'd be like, who, what, when did we sit? Like, I'd be like, I don't remember who I sat with tonight. Like, I don't
know. I was just like, get to the point. Like, you know that part in movies where, like, a doctor is, like, explaining, well, your daughter has, you know, preeclampsia and all sorts of stuff. Like, get to the point!
Yeah, it's like, it's like the medical show where they're like, well, you know, this is the only way. It's like, okay, I just want to see you start operating. Like, I don't care how you're going
to
get
there. Give it to me straight, doc.
Yep. Or is she going to die soon? Like, do we have time to get pizza? Like, just break, cut to the chase. So we get this mathematical explanation, which pretty much cuts to Max freaking the fuck out for the last 10 minutes of the episode. Now, Justin seems really relaxed. Do you think Justin's relaxed, A, because he knows he can hook up with other people if they're not a perfect match, or B, because he has confidence in Max, or a little bit of both?
I feel like it's like both. Yeah. It did give me pause to watch him sort of console Max, because Max was in tatters, okay? Yes. Like, Max's whole world has been destroyed, and Justin is just like, there.
Yeah,
like, you know, if it's meant to be, then it's meant to be. If it's meant to be, it'll be.
That's a good. Okay,
we're gonna get flagged.
On
this podcast.
Yeah, I know. We're definitely gonna lose all our ad revenue.
it did sort of like give me that air of like he's okay with moving on. Now, I don't know how much of that is because Justin is sort of like a laid back person as it is, and in comparison with Max, it seems like he's like even more laid back, because Max is over here like ready to like jump to the wolves. Mm-hmm. But it did seem like he was like, this is gonna be okay, like I can move past this, which could be interesting. Back to your original, you know, notion that if they weren't a perfect match, it's going to be interesting, because if they aren't, heaven forbid, if they aren't, and Max is like, I don't care. Like, I'll play the game, but I'm still going to spend all my time with you. And Justin is like, actually, I'm kind of feeling Amber. Yep. Like, if that were to happen, Ooh, the drama, baby, the drama.
And I know it sounds so messed up, but a little part of me, like I think Justin Max will be fine after the show, but like a little part of me wants to see like what Justin would do if they weren't a perfect match.
I just feel like Max, and it's, I mean, and I really don't mean this in a malicious way. Well, I guess I kind of do, but he's just like, he's so distraught over this possibility that it's like, you just kind of want to like, just continue to poke the bear.
Yeah.
you just want to see what is the breaking point? Like, what are you prepared to do in your worst situation? Because, I mean, you have to be able to come back from this at the end of the day. You have to be able to move past this if it is not how you want it to go.
Yeah,
so
it's not, at the end of the day, they're not like, it's not like they're breaking up, you know, they could still make it work. So it's just like, not to like poke fun at the show a little bit, but it's just, are you the one, you know, like worst case scenario, they're not a perfect match. Justin makes out with Amber for a few days and they go outside of the house and see if they can make it work. So
honestly, even if they weren't a perfect match, I honestly don't see Justin, or rather I don't see Max really ever having a true connection with whoever it is. Like, even if you decided to cut Jack or Justin off, like, I still feel like they'd be like, oh, I know that you're so into Justin, like, well, this will never happen between you and I.
Exactly.
It's just, I mean, everybody just gotta calm down just a little bit.
Yeah, it's
well, not everybody, just Max.
Max pretty much. Yeah, Max just gotta chill.
Max, bring it to a min.
Yeah, I completely, ooh, I like that, the play on words. I'm a fan. And I think Max is a good guy. I think he's just really caught up in, like, I feel like he's really coming to terms with his sexuality, and he found this great guy who he's so attracted to. And he's like, this is all so too good to be true. I don't want to lose it. So, like, he's just got to realize that, you know what? If it's meant to be, like you said, it'll all work out outside of the house. If not, you'll be fine. You know what I'm saying? He lives in LA. A lot of good looking people in LA. He'll be good. So now we go to we go into Jasmine and Nora date. Great. Jasmine at Horace is awesome. And now this, but beyond the date, I feel like the date was them getting to know each other. Great. Do you think this notion of somebody being your perfect match is nothing more than this like placebo effect? Because these girls hated each other a week ago, and all of a sudden they're quote unquote perfect match, and they found all this common ground or really into each other. Like, do you think that if you said, hey, like, see that old woman over there, like, she is your perfect match, like, you'd be like, okay, like, maybe, like, me and her to, like, see where this
let's
goes.
Go, grandma.
Yeah, right.
Let's,
like,
get it on.
Do you think that the title of are you the one perfect match as deemed by these matchmakers just gives people this, like, oh, like, I can see why you're attractive now?
Maybe, like, a little bit. I would have to go back and watch the beginning of the season. I can't really remember. But
oh,
like,
yeah, I have no idea.
I feel like maybe there could have, maybe I saw like a little flirty, when everybody's flirting with everybody. Like, I feel like I could remember like Jasmine having some nice words to say about Nora and vice versa. Like, I feel like it's not, like, who was involved in that fivesome again?
Okay, it was Kylie, Aisha, Jenna, Aisha, and Kai, and then it was one more person. It was Jasmine. Okay, so no,
Nora wasn't there.
No, Nora wasn't on the phone.
Okay, well, damn, I can't use that as an example, but I think so. I feel like definitely there's like a bit of like, now that you know that there's a big possibility that you're a match, or that you are a match, you see the person in a different light. But I also feel like they probably do find each other attractive. It just sort of like was a nice little push.
Yeah, that could make sense. I just, like, I don't, like you said, I don't think they're going to blast us out of this.
No. I mean, it was sort of, like, weird to see them make out in the diary. Yeah. Like that. I was like, really?
They're like, oh, they just, yeah, they went at it. You know, I guess make your last few days in the house worthwhile. So,
yeah, you know what? That is, do not underestimate the power of, like, free and like 24/7 access to sex, okay? Because once you leave that house, it ain't the real world. Some people's real worlds are like that.
True.
But I'm gonna wager to guess that most of these people do not live lives where they are able to just, they have a boom boom room within 5
and they don't have to do
them,
any real work for like a month and a half straight. So it's,
hey, I say have another foursome. Say have a whole thing with the whole cast.
Do you, boo? That's what I, if you got that opportunity, you go for it.
Do you, boo boo, in the boom boom room?
Ooh, yes. You know what? Live your best life in the Are You the One house, because everything, whatever happens there stays there, unless I feel like someone probably has like chlamydia or something, then like it's definitely coming back to outside of, they're in Hawaii, outside, southern the States, but back to the, are part of the States. So, I'm
part of the States.
Away from you Hawaiians. I'm just kidding. So we also have Danny, like, kind of like talking about the Kai connection. And of course, Danny, being the sweetheart that he is, says it would be bittersweet if they're a perfect match, because then Max would be so sad. It's just me reminding everyone that Danny's the best person on the show. We don't deserve him.
I know. He's already like thinking about how this would affect other people.
I know,
people.
Right? It's like, wow.
Which honestly, like, it's so nice, but at the same time, I was like, well, fuck it. It's all about you, Danny.
Yes.
Worry about yourself.
See, Danny needs someone who's going to focus on Danny and Danny alone. That's why I'm like, probably not Kai. Okay, so we have the matchup ceremony. A lot of this is kind of the same shit. Like, they're all pretty much trying to see if Justin and Max are a perfect match or if it's Danny and Kai. So we'll go through the matches real quick, or the couples who sit together. Jasmine and Noor, Jonathan and Basit, both of them are perfect matches. Obviously, Brandon and Aisha are together because they're from the honeymoon suite. Max and Justin, that's the big test right there. Kylie and Danny, we've never seen them speak to each other. Kai and Remy, they looked like they absolutely hated each other when they were standing up at the podium. Amber and Paige, Jenna and Kari, and it ends on the cliffhanger. Who will be the perfect match? Will it be Max and Justin? And Max looks petrified. The poor guy looks so scared. Or Danny and Kai, who probably wouldn't care as much.
Yes, and a quick shout out, because I said that, yes, I would mention you on the show. Quick shout out to Twitter user Zevandel, Zevandel. Ooh. He or she, I'm not sure, or they, correctly predicted all of the current confirmed perfect matches that we have as early as week 5. So, round of applause to you, because that's very impressive, considering most of them were guesses. Some of them were math, and but a lot of them were guesses, according to this person. And it's also like something that's like sort of influencing how I see the rest of things. So I kind of wish that I hadn't seen everything yet. But there's still the possibility that some of them are incorrect.
Yes.
But the ones that are confirmed, he or she were correct about them. Like, 4 weeks ago. Ooh. So that's awesome.
That's very impressive. Also, kudos to you for king of correct pronouns. I appreciate it. Your growth is real. I feel like we're both trying really hard to get all these pronouns correctly. So I hope we. I feel like this podcast has helped me, and I'm very grateful.
It really has.
To always like think, okay, well, yes, they like. I would think, okay, maybe it's he, maybe it's she, but I feel like instead of assuming, like, I'm like, okay, you know, let me make sure, like, let me do my research. So I'm like, this podcast has definitely helped me grow in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that my brain is like finally starting to like acclimate to.
Yes,
because at first, and that's the thing. Like, at first, it seems really very, very, very weird.
Yeah.
And I think people get irritated because we're human beings, we're stubborn creatures of habit, we don't like change.
Yes.
But then as soon as like you start to do it more, it's like exposure therapy, your brain just sort of like, it was like second nature just to say the or they part.
Yes.
It's just, and then it's like, okay, whatever, that's just your new normal.
Yes,
so
exactly.
I encourage everyone to just, you know, give it a shot. It's really not going to kill you. Like, I just said it 2,000 times and I'm not dead. I'm still here sitting, talking to your ears on this podcast.
Perfect.
So
No, it's good for you. I feel like it's you're setting the standard for other people, which is great. So now the podcast is over. Amon, where can people find you on social media? Then the last thing we say is who our guest will be. So where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at Amon Adwin.
Perfect. And you can find me at Adam Bongo, B-O-N-G-O. But if you want to follow us, you will be seeing that we will have a very special guest on the podcast next week, since there is no episode. So it's the perfect time to interview Amon, you know what? I don't want to give anything away. I want you to do the lead in.
So ask them if you know. I might have had like a small, maybe little crush on one of the contestants on Are You the One season 8.
Nor.
We talk about him from week 2. Fuck, Adam, you said that you
I know,
to say
sorry,
anything.
It's Nor. I'm just kidding. No, okay, come on, continue.
Bitch, we're kidding! It is Danny!
The king himself will be joining us next week. We'll be talking about, and this is, we have to discuss what we want to ask him, because I don't want to keep him for too long, but I would love to know, of course, a little bit about the season, but I really want to know, like, way deeper than that, and like beyond the season, before the season.
I really want to get into it, nitty gritty, like Barbara Walters style, like how did you wind up on this show?
Yes.
Like, have you tried out before? Like, what's going
on? Yeah,
like
what's, I really what's up? Like, I'm so excited. Like, I feel like our favorites have been, like, interchangeable with, like, Basit and Danny the whole season. Like, we've been very high on both of them. So to have one of them on the show and, like, have it be the first guest we had together, it's very exciting.
Yes.
Are you the one?
Oh, and shout out. Yes. Oh, my goodness. I forget the other user's name, but shout out to this user who, this Twitter person. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. Where's my phone? I need to give your...
What do you want me to look up?
Oh, got it. Okay, cool. His name is Derek. He DM'd me the other day saying like that he really enjoys the show. So thank you. And that he is friends with Jenna. So maybe we might get Jenna. Maybe not. I don't know. You know, no promises yet, but there's a possibility that we might even get Jenna on the show at some point. So thank you so much for listening. And thank you so much for reaching out.
That's amazing.
Opportunities.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And
people be reaching out to us, Adam.
This is exciting. I'm very excited. And Jenna's a queen of transformation. So it'd be great to kind of get someone and someone who's grown so much on the show and transformed from someone who really like was kind of going back to what was comfortable and going back to Kai to being a strong woman who's like, you know what? Like, I don't need Kai. Jenna needs nobody. So I'm really excited to kind of, if we get the opportunity to talk with her, that'd be awesome. But no matter what, we are guaranteed Danny. So, I feel like when we get someone like Danny on the show, like everything else is icing on the cake.
Yes. Definitely. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Yeah.
Yes, we have to. So I guess if you're listening to this and this is before, because we're doing the interview early next week. So if you're listening to this and it's like the weekend, send us questions. We could kind of maybe tweet about it and like get some questions as well. So we're excited for that. We will just stay wherever you listen to this podcast. Keep stay tuned there. Stay tuned to our socials and we'll be posting about it when that interview is up. But Amon, anything else to add? Or are we good to go?
I am I'm good.
All right.
I'm good.
Great. Okay. Well, we got two episodes left, but the next time you'll be hearing it from us, it'll be with Danny, and we will see you guys very soon. Have a good one.
See you later.